A very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning, the land of the brave. And good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to this edition. Welcome to Tuesday edition. You know, where we started. We started earlier with Tatema Taz. And then David Shombe. And now the mic has just come over here to the great region, to the mighty region of Oshana, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So good morning, and thanks for joining us this very morning. It's Tuesday morning, the 2nd of December. Thank God we make it. Actually, we make it. We made it. Yeah, we made it for December. But Yemoni Duot Khani, okay? Don't go yet, you know. Let's get to 2026 at least. Okay? So, yeah, don't die in 2025. All right? So, you have made it. We have made it. Can't believe we have made it to December. So there are only a few days. 28 days? How much days? You know, about 28 days or 29 days, you know. So until we go, you know, just hold on. Hold on. You're gonna make it. And you and I gonna make it, hopefully. Okay, it depends also that little guy, that big guy is upstairs as well. So, good morning and welcome to, you know, to Eagle FM, and that's the choice you have made at this point in time. Thank you for choosing Eagle FM at this point, and it's always a pleasure. It's always our pleasure to be in your company, and thank you for doing it. Just that. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. So your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise. That's what we do to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, little witty, and always, always, always curious. So asking questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the big conversation. So this is your space to unpack. The headlines and the numbers and the, you know, and the trends, and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. It's minute past the hour of 8. So, and as usual, we start with our first segment in the program, which is on this day in Africa. So what happened in the course of history, on our beloved continent? So nothing much really, nothing significant really happened on the 2nd of December. So, but today is an international day for the abolition of slavery. Today is an international day for the abolition of slavery. So the United Nations designated December the 2nd as International Day for Abolition, abolition of slavery, to raise awareness about modern day slavery. There could be also modern day slavery and also its abolition, according to the United Nations. So, yeah, happy International Day for the abolition of slavery. So should I say that? Should I wish you in that way, in that manner? All right. So, but it's an international day for the abolition of slavery. All right. That's all we have on this day in Africa. Now, we don't really have much significant event that happened on that day, on this day. All right. Let's see. What is our thought? And then what's our thought for the day today on Tuesday, December the 2nd? Now, you can hate the dog, but do not tell him that his teeth are dirty. You can hate the dog, but do not tell him. It could be also her. Do not tell her Why not her? So, but do not tell her that his teeth are dirty. That even sounds better. All right. Now, the proverb suggests that you may dislike someone, like the dog in the proverb. But even if you do, there is no need to insult them or attack their dignity, telling them their teeth are dirty, like in the Proverbs. So it warns against cruelty and spiteful behavior. So the insult brings nothing constructive. So if you dislike someone, there is no benefit socially or morally in commenting on their flaws just to hurt them. Okay? In essence, it's a warning about practicing restraint, you know, practicing restraint. So even if you don't like someone, there's no benefit in provoking them with hurtful comments. So the proverb encouraged tactic, self-control, and the wisdom of choosing which battles are worth fighting. All right? So, you can hate the dog, but do not tell him that his teeth are dirty. So that's our thought for the day today. And whatever you do and whatever your choices and decision throughout the day today, make sure that you choose which battles are worth fighting. Make sure that, you know, it's a wisdom, you know, you have wisdom to choose which battles are worth fighting today. So, and have a great day ahead here on our Picking the Day. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, our time is 8 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us. So it's terrible hot today for some reason. It's absolutely, absolutely hot. You know, I have aircon on, but it looks like it doesn't do anything at all. Maybe it's just not doing well. Okay, gosh, that's terrible hot. Imagine, what time is it? It's 8, 10 minutes past the 8, and you're like at 1 o'clock already. Oh, my good Lord. All right, so welcome to Unpacking the Day. And what do we have in our show this morning? So the African nations, they met in Algiers, the capital city of Algeria, and they are pushing, the African nation are pushing for a recognition of colonial crimes and reparations. And even our minister of international relationship was also there, and she also spoke. So we're going to look into that, and we're going to dissect that a little bit. George, join me in dissecting that. All right. And I think Africa has also tired of being the, you know, the raw material supplier to the world. And you remember, there was a summit in Angola, between the AU and EU. So the African Union promises to end Africa's raw material supply role. We don't want to be the raw material supply anymore. So we're going to look at that also. We're going to go into that if we still have time. And of course, your participation will also be part of the show. So stick around. We're going to be back.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaimbo, Tamwini, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, Orangeka, Saitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Ikelefem Media House, Way 20 Mimiha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Para omkwashi paregi uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo lengera selma konara heta timu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oambiyaj. Ikele FM.
No matter where you are, If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, welcome back and a very good morning to you. And please do follow Eagle FM. Do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social media platforms. We are on X, we are on LinkedIn, we are on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Telegram, we're on WhatsApp, you know, and engage with us. Engage with us on this social media platform. Make sure you leave a like and also a comment. Follow us. All right. And subscribe for the Villager as well. The Villager e-newspaper. Make sure that you subscribe. What you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message, you know, with your name and your email address. And you're sending it to this number. 081-241-44. 081-241-44. And if you really looking forward, if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, you get yourself a free copy of The Villager. You just need to do that. And you're going to get this. Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Make sure that you do that so that tomorrow you get your copy, your digital copy of The West Day. And it's for free, for God's sake. Huh? You get it, all this for free. Where else can you get that? Mahala, eh? So you get this for Mahala. All right. So welcome and good morning to you. And thanks for joining us. And welcome to Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. This is your daily deep dive into stories and the stories that actually shape our nations and our world. So I'm your host, Mike Oshoveli. So we're going to start. But first of all, let's pay the bill. Let's pay the bills, and we're going to be back in a sec.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, that's very true. All right, welcome back, welcome back. You know, for the past days, there has been a significant push for African leaders. Our leaders included. So calling for the formal recognition of colonial crimes and the long overdue reparations for the atrocities, you know, that have been committed during that era. Now, you might be thinking, why should we still talk about colonialism? Why should we still talk about colonialisms? Well, our leaders are talking about it. One other reason is because the wounds it left are still deeply felt today. So we're talking about emotional wounds. We're also talking about economically wounds. Okay? We're not just talking about the emotional, the psychological wounds, but we're also talking about the economical wounds. All right. From Namibia to Algeria and beyond, colonialism didn't just take land, you know. So it wasn't just about land was taken. Well, it stole our lives. It stole life, it stole culture, stole resources. Resources. And it is time that these wrongs were formally acknowledged. So that's what the African leaders are saying. It is the time that these wrongs were formally acknowledged. Now, in today's segment, so we we are unpacking what happened at the International Conference on the Crimes of Colonialism, colonialism in Africa, which held in Algiers, capital city of Algeria, and why this is such a critical moment for our collective future. So why is this really, really a critical moment for our collective, as an African, you know, collective future? So we'll be looking at the demand of demand for reparation, the legal. We're also looking at the legal and political ramifications, and how Namibia is directly in this global conversation, because we are in this global conversation as well. So that's what we gonna look at. So stay tuned as we bring in, yes, we bring you the context, perspectives, and what this means for you, for Namibians today, for Namibians at this point in time. All right. Now, as I said, over the weekends, leaders and diplomats across Africa gathered in Algiers, the capital city of Algeria. The theme of their conference was crystal clear. It was crystal clear. It's a time to readdress, it's a time to redress historical injustice by criminalizing, underline that word, criminalizing colonialism. So that was the theme. They want to redress the historical injustice by criminalizing colonialism. What would be the impact of that? That's why probably that's not going to be an easy. Okay, now, well, first of all, this was not just a random meeting. It was not just, hey, guys, let's just come together. Let's talk about how we criminalize, you know, colonialism. No, it was not there. Just, it was not just a random meeting. This was a follow-up. It's actually a follow-up to a bigger decision, to a big decision made by the African Union earlier this year. So the AU essentially say, enough is enough. All right? For too long, the devastating impact of colonialism has been brushed aside. So it has been brushed aside. So enough is enough. Yeah? So, now the Algerian foreign minister kicked things off by speaking about his own country's brutal experience under the French rule. So, and he made a point. He really made a point that will resonate with many of us. So he said that any restitution, any reparation should not be seen as a gift. All right? It shouldn't be seen as a favor. So this is not about a charity or asking for handouts. No, that's not what we're asking. This is about what is legally and morally owed to us. It is a debt. You owed us, you are indebted to us. All right? It's a debt that you gotta pay. So that's what he said. It's legally and morally owed to us. This is what legally and morally owed to us as Africa, as a continent. So, why this is so important? Okay, maybe let's get into that. Why this is so important? Well, now, the reason why this is important is because the international law, especially the UN, already recognized things like slavery. We looked at today, as I said, today is the International Day of Abolishing Slavery. So recognize things like slavery, recognize things like apartheid and torture as a crimes against humanity. Now, the UN Charter say you can't just seize, for example, you cannot just seize a territory by force. You understand? So all these are things that have been recognized by the UN, but there's a massive blind spot Okay? The blind spot, it just seems like intentionally, you know, intentionally, the word colonialism itself isn't explicitly defined as a crime against humanity in the way that it should be. So it isn't explicitly defined, okay, as a crime against humanity as it should be. So, and that's why, they, African leaders, are saying, hey, you know, this has to be criminalized. And colonialism was criminal. It's a crime against humanity. So we need it. It should be, you know, defined clearly as such. And it was, and it was what our foreign minister, our minister of relations, our international relations, our representative at the conference called a glaring and unacceptable accountability gap. I'm quoting part of what he said. It's a glaring and unacceptable accountability gap. So it's a loophole that has left. Now, that loophole has left colonial power off the hook. It's actually left them off the hook for many years. So it's left them off the hook, allowing them to treat those atrocities. So because they left off the hook, they actually, you know, treat these atrocities of colonialism as something distant, as something distant. You know, well, I think that's happened quite a long time ago. So something that it doesn't require legal accountability today. You know, that's the attitude. That's exactly what is the attitude we're getting from the colonial power. And in that way, for many years, let's actually get them off the hook. So they're kind of like, hey, leave it, man. You know, that's something that happened. That happened something long time ago. Okay? But do you know why can't we forget? So, because there's also, remember that earlier on I said, it's left some wounds. And those wounds are not only psychological, but also the economic. Now, the economic cost, it's almost impossible to calculate. Almost impossible. Some experts estimate that the plunder, how much they plundered this African resources, you know, the plunder of African resources. And we're talking about our gold, our diamond, our rubber, our land. It's round into the trillions of dollars. Some experts estimate that it runs into the trillions of dollars. Not billions, trillions of dollars. They plundered our resources. Now, wealth that actually built their cities and empire in Europe, these are wealth from Africa. These are resources from Africa that actually build their cities and build their empires in Europe while leaving a legacy of poverty and instability here. Yeah, the reasons why they're looking at us now, Africa, but we are where we are, part of that, you know, part of that because we couldn't recover because of the plunder of our resources. That Europe have actually, you know, exhaust. So, and we are left we're left in poverty. We're left in poverty and instability. Okay? That's a fact. So, this meeting in Algiers, it's about creating a united front. now. What's going on with me? Wat gaan? So now, this meeting in Algiers is about creating a united front. You know, it's about building a legal and a political strategy. Now, to close that loophole and demand justice. So we want to close that loophole and really demand what is owed to us. So, and Africa is preparing to take this fight. Well, we are prepared to take this to the world stage. So now, armed with a unified position. So, because an injury to one is an injury to all. So that was our slogan during those those days, you know, those days of when we go for boycott and when we boycott for boycott, when we marching in the streets. An injury to one is an injury to all. Yeah? A bullet to one is a bullet to all. All right. So those were good days. They were not good days, but good days of really, you know, fighting apartheid and colonialism. Exactly. Colonialism. Okay. All right. Now let's bring this home. Excuse me. What's going on with me? So let's bring this story home now. Now, because Namibia is not just a spectator in this conversation. We are not just a spectator. We are one of its most powerful and a necessary voice. We are one of the most powerful and necessary voice in this conversation. So our Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, through her representative, was present in Algiers and delivered a message that cuts right to the heart of our national story. So the message was simple. Namibia knows the scale of colonial violence because we lived it. And we're going to come back after this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. 30 minutes is past in the hour of 8. So now, as I said, our Minister of International Relationship, International Relations also when they were present as well, and also delivered a message. And as I said, that really represent that cuts right to the heart of our national history. So the message, as I said, it was very straight, it was very simple. Namibia knows the scale of colonial violence. We know, because we lived it. We lived. She directly actually referred to the 1904 and 1908, from 1904 to 1908, genocide against the of Herero and Nama people. So we all know the devastating numbers. Okay, an estimate, and that's why I love numbers, but sometimes numbers, they don't really represent the reality. Can you imagine an estimate 80% of the Baherero population and 50% of the Nama population were wiped out? 80%. Now, if this number is true, and I'm not actually, you know, and I'm not judging whether it's true, but I'm saying if it's really true, 80% as it's referred here, 80% of the Herero people population and 50% of the Nama population were wiped. That, imagine 80%. That's a lot of people. That a lot of people being terminated. Seriously. Maybe sometime we don't get time to really get into this, really think this critically. And sometimes when maybe you are not part of this community, you kind of like, you may just think about what is the noise? What is the noise? 80% of the Herero population, and 50% of the Nama population. That's a massive people that have been, you know, wiped out. And it wasn't the accident of war. This wasn't the accident of war. It was a systematic extermination by the German colonial forces. Systematic. Just think about it. Really, really, really think deeply about that. 80%. 80% of the population. My friend, that's massive. So, and the reasons why we really, as we spearheading this as well, part of this is because this is really serious for us. It was a systematic extermination of our people. So we cannot just let go. Seriously, we cannot just let go. And we cannot just confine this to statistics from a history book. It is a wound that, as I said earlier, it's a wound that has never fully healed. So 80%, just think about that. Have that in your mind and the back of your mind all the time. 80% of your population. If we talked about, if we say now, think about now, think about any population, maybe Oswambo speaking or Kavango Herero speak, I mean Kavango speaking people. Think of now the number of how many Oswambo speaking at this point now. 80% of those people terminated. 80%. So that's why I said this shouldn't be left just to statistic from the history book. This is a wound that has never healed, never fully healed. So the minister spoke of the psychological wounds, the intergenerational trauma that is still actually, that's still deeply embedded in our communities today, which is true. Which is true. So, what does that mean? Intergenerational trauma. What does that mean? It means the pain. So it means the pain. It means the loss. It means the disadvantaged didn't die with that generation. It didn't die with that generation. It passed down. It passed down. It is in the stories of our grandparent. So it is in the story of the grandparents that they tell, the stories that they tell. It is in the economic inequality. Remember what I said? It is in the economic inequality we still see today. Where community who lost everything are still struggling to catch up. Because they're still struggling to catch up. They lost everything. They lost people. They lost land. They lost, you know, resources. Cattle and things like that. And let's talk about land. So let's talk about land. The massive land seizures during that period stripped community of their most productive territories. Their most productive territories, they were removed. And this is the root of the land question that we are still actually grappling with today. That's the root. The reasons, that's the root of the land questions that we talk about still today. You see how this is still, still have a great impact on our lives today. And then when we talk about our national development plans and Vision 2030 are designed to fight poverty and inequality. All right. So these are designed to fight poverty and inequality, but we have to be honest. So we have to be honest that if we are trying to build a new house, so this new house, Namibia, which President Hage Geingob, may his soul rest in peace, that you talk about. So on a foundation, we're trying actually to build a new house on a foundation that was deliberately broken by colonialism. You understand? So now, today's weight getting a little bit real and also very relevant to you and me. Eh? Now, the minister's powerful word comes at the same time as the ongoing debate over the 2021 joint declaration with Germany. Now, as you know, that agreement saw Germany acknowledge the killing as a genocide and commit about, how much is it? Commit about 21.9 billion. And that's over 30 years for development project. Okay? Remember that declaration, the joint declaration. Now, but this deal, as you know, is being challenged in a high court. So many leaders from the affected communities argue that it's not enough. So it's not enough. They say it avoids the word reparation, if you follow. It avoids the word reparation, and it wasn't negotiated with the right people. So, and it doesn't really address the scale of the crime. That's another point you must remember. It doesn't really address the scale of the crime. So, while our government is on a continental stage, all right, demanding the colonialism be criminalized, back home here, we are still actually debating what true justice for our own genocide look like. We're still actually debating that. So this shows that it shows just how complex this issue is. It's really complex. It's not an easy issue. So it is not just about getting former colonizers to admit wrongdoing. It's about how we as Namibian define justice for ourselves. How do we define justice for ourselves? So our representative in Algeria made it clear there is no humane colonialism. That's what the minister said. There is no humane colonialism. It is a powerful statement. So, and she called on all Africans to speak and act in unison. Let's have one voice. Because a single voice can be ignored, but a chorus of 54 nations demanding justice, I think that's a force, to be reckoned with. All right? So let's go to a quick commercial and then we come back and just, wrap up the story.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, 41 minutes is passed out. It's passed out of eight. When you're trying to be complicated. 42 minutes past the 8, past 8, past 8. Welcome. So now, welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Now, we're talking about Africa's push to have colonialism classified as an international crime. So let's get to the core of it now. Why now? All right. Let's ask that question. Why now? And what would this actually achieve? Would that achieve anything at all? Is this just about getting a big payout from Europe? Maybe is this just getting, maybe let's get a big payout, from Europe. Now, from my reading of this, it's about something much deeper. All right? It's about something much deeper. And it is. And as for Namibia, it's much something deeper. It's about three key things, okay? For me, it's about three key things. Dignity, law, okay? Law, and I would say the level playing field, okay? So dignity, law, and level playing field, okay? Let's look at each of those. Now, first, let's talk about dignity. For many years, the narrative has been, and this is very important, okay? So these are things that we need to talk about and teach our own children also to understand, give them that frame of understanding. Now, for decades, the narrative has been that colonialism was a civilizing mission. So it has been what from the colonizers' perspective, it was like this was a civilizing mission. Eh? That it brought development. Okay, it's a civilizing mission and it brought development. Now the pushback now that African the African leaders are, this pushback now is about reclaiming our own story. All right? It wasn't civilizing mission. This was not about development. This was not a civilizing mission. So and our pushback is now, it's about actually having the world formally recognize that what happened was not development. It was a crime. Yeah? Think of 80% of a population. That was a crime. Now, it's about validating the suffering and the resistance of our ancestors. That's what it's all about. So, our minister really pointed out that our community documented the brutality for generations so that one day, just one day, we could demand this recognition. And this is that day. Okay? This is that day. And this is a serious thing. And I want you to take this serious as well, as a citizen of this country. Okay? Look at it at a bigger picture. All right? So the other thing is about, so secondly, it's about the law. Okay? As we discussed, there's a legal gap. By criminalizing colonialism under the international law, you create a framework for accountability. Okay, that's why we're pushing for criminalizing so that they take accountability. So now it moves the conversation from the political sphere where former colonizer can offer non-apology or development packages to the legal sphere. So it should move it now to the legal sphere. So where they should account to. So that builds a foundation for the future claims, you know, not just for past crimes, but also to prevent similar exploitative structure from emerging again. If it's not made a law. Eh? So what they are doing here, we are ensuring that international justice, as our minister said, it's truly universal and not just for some. So, and the other thing, as I said, I said that it's about also creating a level playing field. Yeah? A level playing field. The economic exploitation didn't end with independence. That economic exploitation, it just didn't end with independence. We just didn't get, all right, now you get your independence, but you have actually plundered our resources. You left us with nothing. Do you understand? The conference in Algiers is also looking at the inequitable economic models we inherited. This is something that late President Hage Geingob, used to say. Inequitable economic model that we have inherited. That's why we have some of the things in our own doing, but much of that comes from inequitable economic model we have inherited. So from the colonial time, our economies were designed to extract material, raw material, and ship them to Europe. And we are still actually fighting to break free from that model. That's because that we are still actually in the same model. We still extract raw material and ship them to Europe. It's coming from our colonial time. And the issue here is this. The mining companies and the deals that are there are like 50 years, are like 50 and 40 years. It's not like a 10-year. It's not like about 5 years and then you can renegotiate. We can, but, some of these Namibian, we follow the law. Maybe we have to go the Traore way sometimes. Maybe we need to go the Traore way. All right. So because of the law, we keep the law. We adhere to the law. Things are what they are. Eh? And we are still fighting to break free from that model, So, and when it comes now to reparation, in this context, we are not demanding handout, as the minister, Algerian minister said. We're not demanding handout. They are a form of restorative justice. Okay, restorative justice. We're restoring justice. So it is an investment to help repair the structural damage that colonialism has made. Now, just think about this, okay? Imagine a runner in a marathon whose legs were broken at the starting line, okay? I don't know whether that makes sense. So you can't just say the race is fair now. No, you have to address the initial injury. That's what this is all about. Yeah? It's about addressing the economic injury so that our goals in Vision 2030 are not just a dream, but an achievable reality. So now the conference is even looking at the stolen artifacts sitting in European, museums. For many African countries, and the environmental damage, the environmental damage that has been done to African countries, like nuclear tests conducted on African soils. So this is a comprehensive effort to account for every single aspect of colonial crime. And we need to do that. We gotta do that. So where do we go from here? So now this conference is expected to produce something called the Algiers Declaration. All right. So we will keep looking. We keep, see when that's going to come out. The Algiers Declaration. This document it could be out. I have to look at that. So this document will become the continent official reference point for defining colonial crimes and outlining a strategy for justice. So this declaration will then be taken to the African Union summit for formal adoption. So what this is a long-term strategic plan. It's not something you're not waiting that to happen tomorrow. It's not a single event, but a process. So you have to look at it as a process. So, that's basically what it is. So, all right. So if you want to come through, you can do that now. So our telephone number, as usual, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So you're welcome to come through and have your contribution and have your reaction. 08-333-66-091.
Omudiha wutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika seitha nina omayaguro nilanditoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo, lengera selma, konora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, ondi haji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere, countrywide, to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. All right, welcome back. And it's 5:55 minutes past the hour of 8. And good morning to you if you just joining us. So now, what is our key, maybe our key takeaway for us here in Namibia? So, yeah, one, I think this is not just a talk. I think this is not just a talk. There is really a coordinated continental effort to change international law. Namibia is playing a key part. We are playing a key role, using our own painful history as a powerful testimony. So we are out there, and providing that experience, that powerful testimony as well. So, yeah, and secondly, this fight is about more than it's about more than just money, okay? It's about dignity, as we looked at that. It's about historical truth, because the colonizer said wow, all of a sudden English disappeared. I can't believe this. I can't just believe this. Eh? Oh, my good Lord. Oh, the word is gone. Okay. So they said that it's development, it's civilizations. No, it is not. So it's a crime. So, as I said, it's about dignity, it's about historical truth, and legal justice, all right? It's about correcting a historical record that has for too long been written by the colonizers. So it's time that we, the colonizers, the victims, write our truthful story, okay? So, and thirdly, is that this connect directly to our own national debate. Yeah? This also connect to our national debate. the international push for reparation shines a spotlight back on our own negotiation with Germany. So it forces us to ask tough questions about what acceptable justice look like for over Herero and Nama genocide. So it's actually something that at this point in time work well with what we are trying to achieve ourselves. So, and having that voice, that unified voice with on an African continent, it's just pushing our cause further as well. And finally, this is about our future. It's about our future, addressing the economic legacy of colonialism. Okay, I got it. Colonialism is a critical, if we are ever going to truly achieve the economic independence that we're fighting for and prosperity we all strive for. So, yeah, the story of colonialism is a story of theft. Somebody told me at one point that story of colonialism is a story of theft. You know, theft of land, theft of resources, theft of culture, you know, theft of life. So this movement now that we see in Africa is about finally sending the bill. So we kind of like now, okay, here's the bill. All right? So, and it leaves us with a question to ponder, all right? So the question to ponder at least today. So as Namibian stands with Africa on this, what does justice look like to you? Okay? I want you to think about that. What does justice look like to you? Is it an apology? Is it financial payment? Is it the return of land and artifacts that sometimes in Europe that are not yet, you know? Or is it all the above? Right? You're in an exam now, you know? Or is it all the above? Don't just come and say it's all the above. No, I want you to discuss. So what do you think? So as Namibian, as Namibia stand with Africa, we stand with Africa on this. What does justice look like to you? All right? What does justice look like to you? Something to think about as you go about your day, whether you come through or not. Maybe something that you need to think about. You know, something that you need to discuss and talk with your friends, with your colleagues, with your family, with your, you know. So what does justice look like to you? Is it an apology or is it a financial payment? Is it a return of the land? Yeah, even our artifacts that are in Europe, is it that? Or is it all of that? Okay. 08-333-66-091. It's 9:01. You know, 08-333-66-091. All right. You're welcome to come through. 08-333-66-091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right. Good morning. If you're just joining us and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So good morning to you and welcome. And we have been unpacking, you know, the story about, you know, African countries, African leaders, you know, calling for the formal recognition of colonial crimes and the long overdue reparations for the atrocities committed during the colonial era. So, what is your take on that? That's what we have been unpacking if you're just joining us this morning. So, yeah, so what actually, you know, these countries and including Namibia, so they want that the wrongdoing should be formally acknowledged. All right? They should be formally acknowledged, and that's it was the discussion that was taking place in Algiers.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. What is your take?
The topic is a sensitive one.
Exactly.
Yeah, because...
And we shouldn't just shy from sensitive topic.
Yeah, those are now the problem that I find in that genocide. Because most of the people that I engage with them,
yeah,
they end up think that sometimes we want them to defend the perpetrators or how we call them those. The colonizers. If you look at the body of the IC, International Criminal Justice, there is a lot of black people.
Yeah.
That they are study law. So, and those are now the issues that they wanted to find out really what was happening. So come back to the colonial era that was happening in Namibia. Yeah. And we look of the settlement, the indigenous settlement, a time or period. It are also giving us different pictures. Because if you look at the Rudred town, it was founded on 1884.
Yeah.
Which where those soldiers was how do we call it? Was overloaded or how or they think where they come out when they come to conquer the German colonial countries. So this one now it's giving me a different picture because these are only soldiers that they wanted to conquer the colonial countries now or the continent territory.
Yeah.
So the Okakuruha now Hendrik Verdeboy, captain, was having soldiers, to see that there are some, because he hears that those Rudreds now is already taken by those Rudreds, what.
Yeah.
So he were not happy with that. He said, no, that is the territory where we wanted it to go. Yeah. I don't know whether they were really interesting to go to the sea because we never finding any black tribe that you were closer to the sea.
Yeah.
Even the Xhosa, that's why Cape Town was occupied for 200 years before this black people coming in, even the Khoikhoi, they were not know what is the end of the land.
Mm.
So the fight...
It's also because of our belief in the sea. You know, we have a different, you know, belief when it comes to the sea. Yeah.
But we never could be contacted with that.
Yeah, no, that's why I said we never be closer to the sea because of our beliefs. Yeah.
Not that we are believing. You cannot believe on something that you never see. So they never come closer because they call to whether that is coming from that. So because them, they believing in, their power is on the rivers.
Yeah.
So because they move when they come, especially in Bandos, when they come from that area where they, Central Africa, where they come from. So they follow the rivers.
Yeah.
They never come across. Remember, the river is always blocked somewhere.
Mm. But within Africa, there are even proverbs that talks about the sea. You know, it's not entirely that we never really come across the sea eventually. Yeah. Mm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm. Well, okay. Another day, another topic.
Yeah.
So, okay, this now, when it came to this, Okakuruhas, the soldiers, they were defending, they were running out of soldiers. Let us not say they were defended. No, they were running out of soldiers.
Yeah.
And the people were ran away from the war. And they went in the wrong side. Mm. That one, they said they were starving to death. Some, they said they were captured and they slaughtered.
Mm.
That is now where this argument is starting now. Because if you wanted to understand what was really causing this massive death, yeah, some they said, you know, they were starving.
Yeah.
Because I end up now asking about, okay, they want that is waiting now to Karahari Desert and survive it. So what evidence that say they followed, those Germans, they follow them to Karahari Desert?
Yeah.
There is no such as a thing to say, no, they were following, they were just invited on where they are, and the killing is wiping those people. That is a genocide now. So there is a sensitive thing to talk about it, because even the affected tribe, they don't want to discuss this issue with the government, so that the government will start helping really what was happening.
Mm.
So that's why now those African countries wanting to come up with. So when it come now to that period of Germany, it took them about 15 years to arranging the administration and all of that, and then the Boer come in with soldiers to taking over. So the Germans, they never getting anything. Yeah. Because the Boer recognizing the Jews, you understand?
Yeah.
To giving them the administration. So after they took over, after Botha took over on 1915, he putting the German Jews, you understand?
Yeah.
Not a German origin, but a German Jews. That is now the tribe of those he had, Pupovics, Venaris, Otto Helga and the others. So they were not German, because they were also running away from Europe, running away from the administration of Europe,
yeah.
The Jewish slaughtering and what. So those are the problems that we're having, because most of the Germans that we are having now here in this country, they are origin from Israel. They are not origin from Germany.
Yeah.
So those are now the things that is need the people that they are really deeper in justice. They are really deeper in history, to understanding the genes of the person.
Mm.
So when it comes now to land, after these 15 years of the Germans were defeated, some day learning to become farmer. Yeah, and the administration of the apartheid, when it came in, it took over the land that was occupied by those Germans.
Yeah.
And then become theirs. Because they took over the whole thing. So this is now where the differences is, because the law of now the apartheid was said, some of these whites never given land because they were not having a plan for land, because you need a business plan.
Yeah.
For you to approve, then occupy the land. So those are now the things that when it comes to Ministry of Land and the law that was adopted for land issue, it is still playing a big role, because those people that they were given land, they were doing something. That's why we have a lot of wildlife farm and cattle farming and crop and few crop for crop farming. You understand?
Yeah.
But if you look at the crop farming in Cape Town, where they have been there for 200 years before they become recognized and as a South African tribe, to go to Dingana and Dingana signing up a letter with or agreement with the Pitle Tshifi. Yeah, it was, they was already a land for the farmer. There's this Holland or Netherlands people, they are already farming in South Africa because they got in a new land.
Yeah.
You understand? That is now where the sensitivity is. I say there is a lot of sensitivity when it comes to history.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, the movement now, the African leaders push for recognition of colonialism as a crime and the reparation issues?
Mm. Yes, the colonialism as a crime can be there. That one we cannot ignore it, because it was happening with involving of our people.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you look at in the what happened to Queen Ninga, who was a mastermind of slavery, she's a black person.
Yeah.
And she was one of the powerful queen in that tribe, including the powerful father as a king at the time. So in 1415 somewhere there.
Yeah.
So they started slavery on those countries, and some of us now we never become a victim, because when the European hear that there is a bad deal, because this one it was not, we don't know. Who are these people? Where they come from? Because they are all they come from, and they team up. They come from Europe and they team up to be sold to these people to the colonial era.
Yeah.
I mean, not, it's in the colonial era, yes. Because they were not sold, slavery were not sold in Europe. Remember that.
Mm.
They were sold to the conquer countries, the continent. They follow the Portuguese to sell the people to Southern America. They follow the British people to sell the people in Northern America. You see what the problem is. That's why you see those islands were occupied by the black people, because they ran away from Northern America.
Yeah.
After they got free movement, they started saying, no, we are no longer interested to be. Because this farm, they need a few people. And when the people are starting family, you are no more needed, because your children will not get a job in that farm or in that way you are earning, where you are working. So they starting now say, no, I need, because we are adapting our habit and our living life that we left in Africa. So the men have to taking care of his people, and they have to looking a land for himself. So that's why they end up getting those island.
Yeah.
So the movement is good, but it needed to be addressed with the truth.
Yeah.
You understand?
Wouldn't be that, let's say, for example, the new generation, and the new, let's say, for example, German, in German or any other part of Europe, where would they say, well, that's our forefathers. We are not responsible for what our forefathers have done. So wouldn't that actually end in a dead end?
No, it can't be, because it was the aim of the parents is to feed their children.
Yeah.
This is the way they were creating opportunity for you. And they take advantage on that.
Yeah.
Maybe if you don't know law, yes, you can do that. But what you have today, it was come out of, this is the outcome of what you are having today.
Yeah, it's a consequences of what previously done, what has been done. Yes. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So those are now that they still have a roots in Namibia.
Mm.
But those one now that they having a roots in Namibia, this one, the one that they are coming is the origin German. But the one that is left in Namibia, they are Jewish.
Yeah.
You see where the difference is. They don't come to see what is the Jews are doing in Namibia. They don't come to look at what is Venarista did in Namibia. No. They come to see those samples of their soldiers.
Yeah.
What
they have done. But what would justice look like for Namibians? For the Hereros and the Namas and, you know, what did justice look like? What would justice look like?
Yeah, the problem of Nama, Herero, how do you call it, submitting a case?
The genocide.
So,
the
genocide.
Mm.
The genocide have two effects, which I'm now saying, I confused because some they say the people were driving to the desert and the starving to death, and the genocide that is a victim of war.
Yeah.
Because there is two different things here. Victim of war, it was happening to the Boer by British. Remember the time of the rebel of Porter and Jan Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a contra, that word is like, you're forgetting the contraceptive camp, or how do they call it, that camp. They putting the white farmer in that land so that they can see whether those labor will be starting to death. Yeah, that is another thing now, which is the Herero Nama genocide, Nama, Herero Nama, they don't have the evidence of what was really happened on that time. Because to capturing the soldiers and they become a prison of war and to inviting the area where those civilians are. Because if they wanted to compare the Jews that was slaughtered in Europe, these were undefended. They have no soldiers, those Jews. They were having no soldiers. You just kill them innocent people. But these two tribes, they were having soldiers.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
As I told you, Kakuruha decided to send even a message to other tribes that there is this tribe that are coming in, which we needed to fight them to go back. You understand?
Yeah, but you look at it in terms of that colonialism as a whole, not that's just the battle that took between the European and the whatever the local people, but as the whole movement, the whole colonial movement as a crime itself, you know. So
yeah,
not just looking at to say like, okay, you know, well, the local people have also, they fought and they were defeated or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole colonial movement and phenomena is what they're looking at. Okay?
No, I want us to have evidence of colonialism. You see, Germany just occupying this country for 15 years, if I'm not mistaken, or less than that.
Yeah.
And then the Boer coming, the Union, the Boer winning the election in 1909. So in South Africa, and then they took over from there. You understand?
Yeah.
So the Germans here to as I said, the evidence that we needed to be submitted on the table of justice is that this period of 15 years, how do they occupy the land? If this was, they were only soldiers, they were not civilians. The civilians come after that. You understand?
Yeah.
As I said, Otto Helga and Mona Lisa and the others, the group of those ones, they come after the war ended. You understand?
Mm.
So those are now the things that you need to understand, that the war, the soldiers come first. And that was happening also in South Africa when the British was taking over since 1652, and they starting controlling that country until on 1909.
All right.
So that is what in the table having to be, because we cannot mix in the apartheid era which we've been fighting for long enough,
yeah,
and the Germans, there are totally different things. The Germans never getting a chance into controlling like the way they controlled Burundi, the way they controlled in other countries. No, the way they controlling even Algeria. No, these are now the different things because they have been there for years.
Yeah.
Here that is what the table needs.
Okay. Let's hear what the others have to say. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah? Mm.
All right. 08 0833 All right. Our time is about 23 minutes past the hour of 9. We go until 10 o'clock. So where we handing over the mic to Tate France. So good morning and welcome. So yeah. And yeah, you're most welcome to come through and also just have your say, your comment, your contributions. We're talking about the African pushing for criminalizing colonialism, pushing for to make sure that, you know, just hold on a minute. Something is distracting me a bit. All right. So, yeah, what we looked at, our first stories that we looked at the African nations, you know, pushing for a recognition of colonial crimes and reparation. So, yeah, so that's what we have been talking about. So I know, as I said, these are some of the sensitive, you know, topics to discuss, but well, we got to talk about them. So we have to speak about them. So yeah. 08 333 66 091 And if no one coming through, then we go to our second story of on the show this morning. All right. So yeah. All right. So now. So the other story that we can look at, it's something significant that, that's emerged from the recent African Union and European Union summit held in Luanda, in Angola. And the big takeaway from this meeting, from that meeting. So before we dissect it, it's a promise. Or let's say a strong declaration. It's also a strong declaration from the AU that Africa is looking to move beyond its traditional role as just a supplier of raw material to the world. So it's looking to move beyond that. So because for many years, maybe even centuries, okay, not just many years, maybe even centuries, Africa has been the continent rich in precious stone. We are rich in precious stone, vital minerals, agriculture bounty. But these actually are the building block of industries elsewhere, not for Africa, but elsewhere in Europe or America or China now, as we see that. So we dig them up. So all these resources, we dig them up, we export them. And then we often import finished product made from those very same resources, you know, sometimes at much higher prices and most of the time at much higher prices. So we dig them up, we export them and we import them back, you know, and most of the time actually on much higher prices. So in that way, we're giving, you know, jobs to other countries, you know, and we export jobs now. In doing that, we're exporting jobs to other countries as well. So now the AU chairperson, the Muhammad Ali Yusuf, put it quite plainly, Africa want to climb up the global value chain. So he's essentially saying, we are not just going to be the mine. We are not just going to be the mine anymore. We want to be the factory too. We're not just going to be the mine. We want to be the factory as well. So this call for a fair trade balance, you know, for more investment in transforming these raw material on the continent. So, and this is actually echoed by many African leaders. So maybe the problem is how do we do that? Now, so as I said, it's something that many leaders in the African continent are definitely shouting out. And they are rightly pointing out that while Africa supplies a huge chunk of the world's and especially Europe's raw materials, the benefit don't always trickle down equitably. So we don't really benefit from our own raw materials. So it's a conversation about like we said earlier, it's a conversation sometimes. Most of the time it's a conversation about dignity, about self-sufficiency, you know, self-sufficiency, yeah? And about ensuring that our natural wealth, our own natural wealth, translate into sustainable development of our people. You know, we have the youth that are looking for jobs right here at home. We want that, you know, our natural wealth translate into sustainable development, you know, for our people. All right? And especially the youth. So now, what is interesting is that this sentiment align, and we will talk about that after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetlaweza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no masa kwa murungu wa indu weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba una ovi umedia peke kwa londola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe so kwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva o peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente umirongo ivari na dano Kumiyeze murongo na ivari moshimarifu. Nitororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owiru haka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
All right, welcome back. So 30 minutes past the hour of 9. All right, now when this meeting happened, when this summit happened, the one of AU EU summit in Rwanda. It just actually happened. It just after the G20 summit as well. So now, what is interesting is that this sentiment, okay, the sentiment that we're talking about, that our natural wealth is not translating into sustainable development. For our people, it's also sentiment that aligned remarkably with what came out of the G20 summit as well, just before the AU-EU meeting. So the G20 itself, you know, acknowledged the need of a critical mineral framework for inclusive and sustainable development. Okay, remember when the communique that comes out, critical mineral framework for inclusive and sustainable development. So it means a recognizing that these minerals, you know, the ones we extract from our precious land, you know, are crucial, not just for us, but for global, industrialization and the clean energy transition that this country want to. So, let's see what somebody's knocking on my door. Very good morning.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, man, and yourself?
I'm all right, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me start with the first point that we're talking about.
Yeah,
about
criminalizing the colonialism.
Yeah.
Making it a crime so that they pay.
Yeah, it's needed. You know that, Mike, for me, even the question was asking that, you know, what happened if the German, they say, no, we got nothing to do with our property, that the crime which they committed. It's mean then you have to surrender what your father, forefather did, because you are the beneficiary of those farms.
Yeah, and we
we are where we are today
because of what you have
of
done.
Your forefather, yeah. Exactly. The climate is committed against our people.
Yeah.
And as a country, I think Namibia, serious, we need to come up with something. We can't live in the country where we have even the country which is divided. You know, people are talking about like you know. Too much fish, what you call this, and foot and mouth disease.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to this country that's invaded by the red line. It's only Namibia. My friend, there are countries who even went to war, because we cannot say, we can say we compare the war. All the people are going to die, they're already dead and so on. Yeah. But seriously, they are kind of went in mostly worse than us, where we find ourselves today. But we can't live in the country where it's divided. My friend, if you look why so majority are poor, because we are the majority, especially as Wambo speaking, and we find ourselves on that side, in the condensed fence, lead line.
You're saying that the Wambo speaking are the majority poor?
We are poor.
Oh man, you're
I'm telling you, that's why we find us everywhere.
You have to go. No. That's not true. You have to go to the south. You have to go to the south. You have to go to Kavango's. No.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. I'm telling you, but I'm telling you on the things that I am.
Yeah.
We cannot just leave the country in after 35 years with the country situated.
Yeah.
Because we are the one making our people to be poor more. Why I'm saying so? Because look, there are people who are having a privilege, but they don't know what to do with their privilege, which they are having. Especially when you find yourself here, inside of that, you're having even a farm. Just like a small farm. You'll be able to do a lot of things with that land which you are. Even can be resettlement, because I'm sure resettlement that you are able also to go to agribank, isn't it?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, with people who are, I don't know, maybe it's our mindset.
Yeah, could be the colonial mindset.
Yeah, I can be exactly. Because you know when we are having this colonialism in more than 40 years or 50 years. Like what happened to us?
Yeah, no, that's what I said. You know, the mine and all that; those agreements are about 40 and 50 years. So there's exactly. nothing you can do. You remember where I mentioned that we should actually maybe go the Traore way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but otherwise, we as Namibian, we adhere to constitution. We follow the law. So we are stuck in our own.
In our own dream.
Exactly.
That's the thing. And maybe if you look, a country like Namibia, we are there negotiating about our genocide.
Yeah.
And we are accepting what? How many? They say something like about 15 or something. And you look at the German money which they spend on Ukraine war.
It's about 21.9. Billion.
Yeah, just imagine.
Yeah.
Not trillion, even.
No, not trillion. It's billion.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Just imagine. And we are accepting that. Do you think that it's going to do justice to us? Instead of Germany, because we know that Germany is one of the what, top countries in Europe.
Yeah.
When it comes to anything, like even a vehicle, you talk about fast.
And that's actually spread. And that's actually spread for 30 years. It's for development projects. you know.
You see now.
Yeah.
But seriously, I'm telling you, my friend, you know, what we need to demand from Germany. Because there is not, it's like even a kind of racism. Because the money which is spent on
point,
Ukraine.
The other point, the caller, the previous caller, what was saying, depending on whether what he's saying is historically true. So he said there were only, German only have only been here for about 15 years, and those were soldiers. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they were soldiers, and as he said, they're really the only colonial that has really much impact. It's actually South Africa, you know, that really came in. So now, and he was talking about, you know, I don't want to misrepresent him in terms of, you know, what happened. You know, we need to have some kind of evidence on exactly how we're talking about the extermination of the populations. So how that happened, whether that you can pin it on German or so there is that context that was talking about, you know.
No, the evidence is there. You know, Mike, we can even talk about the school which is then repainted now. You want to tell me that there's not enough evidence?
Yeah.
That the Germans, they committed a lot of what? Genocide when it comes to Namibian people.
Yeah.
They are the one, and the history is there. And when you are talking about what is the, why we have a bit, what birthmark or what the gentleman? And what the other one was in the, that one with a status was moving in what, Jupak. Deep Trot or something
fun,
like that.
Fun Trotter.
Fun Trotter, yeah, exactly. They committed. And everybody know. The evidence is there. And that's what I'm saying. The Germany, if it really want to repair Namibia, they need to pay us with a lot of... either they come here, they put up one of their even plantation. Because they... Yeah, so...
But the other thing that I'm looking at this as well is not just about the negotiation that we have with Germany. But it's also looking at also us. If you really, as I said, we're talking about 80% of the Waherero, you know.
That's amazing. It's 80% the whole population. We're only living 20.
You know, and I said, if those numbers those percentages that are being quoted are true, really, 80% of a population, that's actually exterminating the population, you know.
It is.
And it has... And we should actually, as a country, we should look at that at also and kind of like, how do we then, you know, how do we deal with this as a country? Not necessarily just looking at how do we get reparation and, you know, from the Germany, but also it must have some psychological and traumatic, you know. And we need to look at that more holistically, rather than just, you know, are we looking at Germany? No, Germany should give us this, and then it shouldn't be just that. There must be programs that are really looking at addressing that issue, you know.
You know, Mike, when you're talking about even like reputation and whatever, we have to look at also the land. Just imagine somebody staying in Germany now with 4,000 hectares in Namibia.
Yeah.
Then we have a person who's having what? He cannot live anywhere, but he's having like maybe even 20 ghetto, but he's living in the cotton fence. I mean, in the corridor.
Yeah.
Just imagine. Then this guy, his thing is there, he's only having what? Crowdfunding, whatever way they do every day with the government. But now, it's what I'm saying. Our Namibian country, government, they need to come up with a strategy where even like to put up when a landlord, absent landlords, they can take convicts that they need to come up with a policy to convict those absent landlords, to take the rent back.
Sometimes even without compensation, because that was...
No, they don't need to compensate the citizens.
Because that's what happened, you know, when they took the land, that's what happened.
Exactly. That is the same method they use.
There are people and who died. Sometimes, I mean, many people, they, people died. Yeah.
Yeah, people, they need to be killed. That land to be taken away. And today, who's benefiting? Is their grandchildren.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. There are so much thing which they did. That's why we have a colored Comasdal.
Yeah.
Those bastards. They are, it's a number we were, number people who've been raped. And after that, they've been killed. So,
now the thing is that if we don't, as a country, if we don't look away how we can heal this wound as a country, it will never.
It will go on and go on.
Yeah.
And there will be one day also for revenge.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, everything, every time.
Yeah.
And that one, that's what I'm saying. This guy can, they can create a fan still, whatever. Every time they are running away from the people, they can come.